It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. You know, the other glaring thing before we get to some baseball and back to your calls on the Giants, 888-808-1019. Walking around, was it Dion Lugi from the Giants PR team there?
Yeah, Dion, yes.
He had the shirt, Teak.
What did it say?
D-A-W-G. The Giant logo underlined, and Lugauer's eyes lit up like a puppy dog. Where do you think they got those? You think they're selling them? We're going to get a dog shirt. He sent me on the witch hunt to ask around. It looks like right now, in-house only printing, but they're going full-blown with this dog as their... And
God, it's like all the teams in New York.
And, yeah, the Yankees adopted it, and Lugi was doing the dude's dog's damage with the Knicks, and now every
but
other team is doing
Knicks
it.
Never adopted it.
Isn't that sad?
They never actually bought into it. It's like they didn't hear you, Lugi.
clearly not. So I'll continue to say it. They have dudes, dogs.
Of course they do. But they didn't adopt it. The Yankees did. Now the Giants are.
Well, the Yankees stole it in my world. Yes. And the Giants adopted it.
Well, I mean, Verdugo probably heard us one day and was like, oh, I like that. Oh, yeah. I heard that. WFAN. Okay, I'm going to take that.
Yeah, that Lugi guy is a Met fan. Now, positive Tommy's afraid to ask Tiki. You don't have to put in a word. He might need a dog shirt.
You need a dog shirt?
Well, you know, I'm a schnorrer, so I'm trying to get free stuff. And I was trying to drop hints with, you know, a couple people there, yeah. Schmelk. And I was like, you know.
Love John Schmelk. He was of no help.
And by the way, Schmelk, if you're listening, I'm a schmedium. So send me a schmedium.
888-1019. 888-808-1019. Anthony Nobridge starts off the Anther Hour. What is going on? Bumbling and stumbling. Anthony, what's up?
Tiki, you need to teach these young gentlemen some math. Their math is terrible.
Math.
How
like
is 90? But yeah, the math, 95%. How is Malik Nabers going to be better than 95% of the receivers he plays against?
Right.
When he can't
Jefferson,
even be any better than fourth.
Right. With Jordan.
He can't
Justin
be better.
Jefferson,
he can't be better than fourth in his own division.
Well, how does that? Well, Anthony, how's that true? He could immediately be the best receiver in this division.
Not even close.
He's got a
CD Lamb. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are all light years ahead of him.
Anthony, no, they've all done it way longer, and they're well-established.
Yes.
None of those guys were drafted as high with as much fanfare as Malik Nabers, though.
Very true. I actually love Nabers. I'm a big Eagle fan, but I'm not a Giant hater. I respect the Giants.
It's not a shot at any of those guys, but Malik Nabers is expected, by all accounts, to be a receiver like that caliber, if not better.
Anthony, you're just feeling yourself because you have two of the best.
Exactly.
That's all
it
is.
You know, Giant fans are allowed to have a good player every once in a while.
Right? Just because
I love Nabers. I love LSU guys. I wanted the Eagles to draft Beckham back in the day, and they missed that boat. We won't get into that. That's a whole other story. But right. I love the LSU guys, and I think Nabers is going to be great. But those guys, to me, are elite already.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and, you know, they do play the Bengals and the Vikings, so, you know, they do have to face Chase and Jefferson.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you're saying,
Anthony. Let's take it down to, like, 55-60% instead of 95.
I'm with Tommy. 95%. He's going to be right there with Justin Jefferson.
Maybe I'll go 80. Can we compromise around 80?
I think we can compromise around 80.
Around 80 sounds good because you're right. Justin Jefferson,
Chase,
all the guys in the division.
Even though
it sounds like CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys might be headed towards something not fun.
I love how this is taken as a slight. Now, I watch a ton of football. Real. Tiki, you go around the league. Lugi goes around the league. Of course a guy has to step on the field and play in games before we fully plant the flag.
Right.
Nobody's saying that.
You can't anoint them without having seen them play.
I've been at enough training camp practices in my life. I've seen enough around this. I'm telling you right now, if I were to start a team today and I could only draft wide receivers, the only two guys I'm taking right now over Malik Nabers are Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
That's how much upside he has. Those are the only two guys I'm taking.
And let's just go with the LSU guys. Chase, Jefferson, Odell, when they came into the league, rookies, they were already the best receiver in the league. It's a position that translates quickly in the NFL. That's why I say that.
And nobody thought Justin Jefferson coming out was going to be that right away.
It's because of the game that's played in college now. Right? The college game is so wide open. Right? And you're forced to win one-on-one all day long. And so once you get to the NFL, it's not foreign to you.
And I know that sounds jarring to people because he hasn't played a game, but I think that it shouldn't be looked at as some kind of, how could anybody say that, but more an understanding of that's how special he looks. Nobody was saying this when the Giants drafted Ereck Flowers or Eli Apple or even Kayvon Thibodeau as much as we like him.
Right.
That, like, it's not like Giant fans say this about their first-round picks every year. The league is saying this. The people who come in and cover the NFL nationally, they're going, this guy's a different kind of player in the NFL.
You see it every day.
Yes.
Every day at practice, you see some great catch or another.
Yeah, and it's more than just one highlight reel. He's dominating down in and down out. And we saw today, one practice, granted, it wasn't a matter of the Giants' secondary stinking. That's a good secondary with Detroit. And he had them in a blender.
It's a remade secondary in Detroit. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is gone. Obviously, he was a big part of that last year. And they drafted two, right? Their first and second round. I think their first and second round picks were cornerbacks for the Detroit Lions. And they brought in Carlton Davis, formerly of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So they've remade their secondary because it was one of the weak spots for their team last year. And so they're young.
Kirby Joseph.
Yep. Yeah. Right, so I think it was two guys that they drafted.
Terrion Arnold, is he? Okay,
yes.
I was looking at that. But either way,
right?
Yep.
Yeah, the first and second rounders were cornerbacks, and so maybe that's why he's getting a little bit over on them because they're young. But
whatever the case may be,
at the same time, he's balling, and he seems like he's balling every single day.
Yeah, and look, you want to not like it now? You want to wait for him to play a couple games? It's not a Giant Jet thing. I think that it's going to feel like him and Sauce Gardner are the best players in New York by the end of the year. I really believe that.
And the guy didn't play at Appalachian State. He played in the SEC, played at LSU. He already played in the NFL. So I've already seen him against the best players, and he torched all of them. So I already know what this guy brings to the table.
Right. Thank God. They need somebody. Doug in Morristown. Doug, what's up?
Yeah, Tiki, I want to ask you a question. I think two of the guys that are going to be very important in this year is Singletary and Locke, and I've not seen either one play, and I want to ask you. Singletary, I hope, is more like you in that I never saw you lose more than, you usually gain 4 yards a pop and more.
Yeah.
Whereas, like the Saquon would be 0-0-0 and then 40 yards. And I found it much more enjoyable watching you, frankly. And yeah, as far as the other guy's concerned, with the schedule of so many games, is Locke as good as Tyrod Taylor? Because I never saw him play.
So I called Drew Locke a couple of, I think I called one of his games last year, but I've seen him obviously a lot over his tenure with the Denver Broncos, and then now, and then last year with the Seahawks.
Seahawks, right.
In that Seahawk game, he came back and he won a game. It was a big, he had a big throw down the sideline.
Monday Night Football game.
Against the Eagles over Bradbury.
Yep.
And I think it was the last play or last series of the game. And it was a good throw. But in the game, he didn't have a great game. And so Drew Locke is a quarterback who can win you games. But He's not a star that's going to be your future. You know what I mean?
No, exactly.
And so the question is he better than Tyrod Taylor? No. Tyrod Taylor has had consistency at winning in the National Football League at multiple spots, and you trust him.
Drew Locke's deep ball, explosive player, nothing.
Exactly. And he hadn't had success, really, until last year.
Right.
Like, his entire Denver stint was forgettable.
And couldn't be that Geno Smith when he got there.
Right. And then so he's a good backup, and I think it's the best of what was available, let's be fair, even though you could probably argue that the best of what is available was already on the roster in Tommy DeVito.
I hate to say this because, again, I know he's our guy. We had him last year, and he won us games. I don't walk away watching practice thinking Drew Locke is a definitive better player than Tommy DeVito.
I don't think you're alone in that.
Or at the very least, if they're close enough, I think that there's still room for growth with DeVito where Locke is what he is.
Yes, he is, even though he's still young. He's still 27 years old.
And now maybe the Giants didn't want to just hand a backup quarterback job with an offender, Daniel Jones. At the time in March, you didn't know how he was going to rehab back.
Yeah.
But if this is what they're doing with Evan Neal, you know, if you ever need to turn to a backup quarterback come November, come December, if injuries mount, who's to say they wouldn't if they kept three, turned to DeVito over
right.
Drew Lock?
By the way, I was right. The first round pick, Terrion Arnold from Alabama. The second round pick, cornerback, was another cornerback in the second round, Ennis Rakestraw from Missouri.
From Missouri. So, two SEC corners,
so they had two SEC corners to upgrade the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, he started by asking about the running game and the running back in particular who the Giants signed to replace Saquon Barkley. Now, there's multiple guys, obviously, that are now on the squad. But Devin Singletary is such an interesting player because he's not a 1,500-yard potential rusher in the NFL. But you know what he does do? He consistently gets you like 1,000-yard seasons from scrimmage. So as a receiver, as a runner, I think there are five guys that have had 1,000-yard seasons each of the last 5 years, and he's one of them. Yeah. And so there's a consistency. Now, the lack of he's not that I'm taking it to the house and hitting my head on the goalpost.
He's the opposite of Saquon with that.
But he's the opposite.
Right.
He's also always going to be going forward. He's very sneaky in how he runs.
You could not rely, and it's not a knock on Saquon, you could not rely always on Saquon to turn the ball and know you're going to get 4 yards, 5 yards, get the next down a distance shorter, keep the chains moving that way.
He could throw you 30 here or there.
Right, and that's where he would break off and you would go nuts about it. But some of that consistency was Saquon's weakness where, okay, Singletary's not going to pop off a big play like you said, but they have other guys down the offense who could do that. Malik Nabers, Jalen Hyatt, Wandell Robinson through the air, that it's okay to have that consistent ground churn.
Six running backs have posted 950-plus yards scrimmage yards in each of the last five seasons. David Montgomery, Ezekiel Elliott, surprisingly enough, even though because one of those was with New England, and it didn't feel like he had a great season, but he did. Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, and Devin Singletary.
How about that? So, that's a good list, too.
It's a great list to be a part of. Now, he's got a lot of, shoe to fill.
Right.
Because how much Saquon meant offensively to this team. But there's a bunch of these guys now. I mean, they're going to be... I don't know what the distribution of carries and touches is going to be like for the New York Giants. I'm sure as the season goes along, or preseason goes along, we'll get a better feel of that. But Tyrone Tracy, he's a blazer. Eric Gray was a draft pick a year ago. Dante Miller, he's phenomenally fast.
I didn't get to see a lot of Miller today for some reason.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know if he was out there, if he was not getting touches. Jayshon Corbin, they signed as well.
He had a big run today.
Right. They have so much talent, but it's not like
the top end talent.
It's not like superstar talent.
Right.
But there's a lot of talent in the Giants running back room.
It's like a not too hot but not ugly bachelorette party, you know? Just perfect.
Right.
We can hang with him.
Right, exactly.
888-808-1019.
That's a good way to put it.
John on Long Island. John, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's
First of all, I want to say, Peak, all-time great. Love you, man.
Thank you, dude.
With the whole NFL Top 100 list, I think it's atrocious how Andrew Thomas gets no respect in this league.
It's crazy.
He's been snubbed from that list. He's been snubbed from that list twice, 2 years in a row, and it's just about time he's
It's
because the Giants' O-line as a whole is so bad that I think
so
outside
he gets dragged down by the perception of the unit as a whole. But I also don't know how they do that list.
Well, the players vote on it supposedly.
Yeah, but
here's what you need to do with the list,
but
Tiki.
The players, how are they voting on it?
I don't know how they get pulled, what happens. Patrick Mahomes was number four, not number one. It tells me all I need to know about the list.
Right. I promise you NFL players are not sitting down and accurately rating their peers. They're not sitting down with a sheet of paper and going through, okay, this guard is better than this guard. This tackle is better than that tackle. It's the same thing when the players had a vote in the Pro Bowl, you know, back in the day. It was like... Vote for this guy so
vote
that our guy gets in.
Yeah.
I'm just like let's undermine this thing. So I get where they're coming with this top 100 thing, but don't take it for anything other than kind of a popularity contest.
Right. And the Giants had a couple guys on there: Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, mainly. So 1 through 3, because Patrick Mahomes was 4. Was Tyreek Hill was 1.
Mm.
Lamar Jackson was 2, and Christian McCaffrey was 3.
Yeah.
Now. All of those guys are great players.
Of course they are.
How is Patrick Mahomes not the number one player in the NFL?
Because they're,
fatigue? Well, what are we doing?
No, it's almost like they're judging it based on how much of a dog the dude is.
I guess, right? But the problem is,
think about this. Like, if you're that if you're that still, if you're picking in a athletic contest, I'm not going to define what the athletic contest is. It's just an athletic contest. It could be football, it could be running, it could be dodgeball, it could be whatever. You're picking an athletic contest, and you had all these NFL players to choose from. Who are you taking first? It's probably not Pat Mahomes.
So an athletic contest?
As good as a quarterback as he is.
But what are we, so that's what we're doing? We're doing a vote on Underwear Olympics?
I guess.
No, it's the best football players. That's supposed to be the list.
That's not what you got. Because think about it. If you were going to pick the best, like, Underwear Olympic guy, in whatever the athletic contest is, Tyreek Hill's top of my damn list.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Right, and you know who's second is probably Christian McCaffrey
or Lamar Jackson.
Definitely. And Christian McCaffrey would be third. That's what it feels like because it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Because if you look at...
Unless there's a fatigue to Mahomes, dude.
No, it can't be because you think about football and what's the goal of football? To win.
Right.
Who helps you win the most? Your quarterback. Who consistently wins Super Bowls from the quarterback position?
Pat Mahomes. No, I'm saying Lamar Jackson.
So it's like, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
He's the best football player. He's in that, you know, early GOAT stage conversation because all he does is win. And he does it in his unique style that is not easy to replicate. He's not cookie cutter. He's not, you know, mechanically sound and perfect, but he makes plays when he has to make plays. He's a baller. Period. But if you were just doing a random athletic contest, I probably would have Lamar Jackson above Pat Mahomes. I'm positive I would have Tyreek Hill above Pat Mahomes because you go watch Tyreek Hill do anything, run 100, run a 40, play basketball. That dude is amazing.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. I'm just telling you.
Well, Trent Williams is 7. He's not.
Yeah, but he's just a massive human being.
I know.
Have you ever seen it? You've never seen him in person.
No, I've never seen him in person. He's awesome.
Trent Williams is quite possibly the largest person I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I feel better about myself now.
He's enormous. And he's an athlete.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Okay, so if Trent Williams though is at 7 and he's the best left tackle in football, my only point is I understand this is so weird. It's so stupid. It's a list.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me the difference between Trent Williams and Andrew Thomas as a left tackle is 93 other football players are definitely better than him.
I think it's longevity.
Okay.
Right. Think about the best left tackles. They all played forever.
Yeah. So maybe Andrew Thomas will eventually get to that respect. And I honestly think it just comes back to...
I think for tackles, it's stacking all pros.
Right.
Once you start stacking all pros, then they can't ignore you.
Right. And the Giants, and the rest of the Giants O-line, just when you think Giants offensive line, you think bad, you forget that they have a really good player.
What does he have? Two? One? No, just one.
One. One all pro.
Yeah, because he only had one year that he was...
2 years ago. Yeah. Yep. And he was hurt most of last year. Chris in New Haven. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys. What's up? Great show. How you doing?
Good, thanks, man. Chris. What's going on?
All right. So the million-dollar question is, TG, like you know, Neighbors is going to be nasty. That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, the offensive line, they made a lot of good moves. Got to see what happens. That's what it comes down to, give them protection. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. It's being healthy with those guys. It's understanding how to play together and as a unit. And it's if there is one thing that worries me, I know there's new names, different places now. Andrew Thomas is back. He's healthy. Left guard is going to be John Runyon, it seems like. Right now, we hope it's John Michael Schmitz, but currently it's Van Roten at center. And then you got Aaron Stinney, who was a backup-ish and a depth player brought in. He's going to end up playing right guard with Illuminor playing right tackle. It just... The thing I worry about is that it's been moving, right? When you talk about or listen to some of the reports that come from the camps, these guys that follow him, Jordan and others, it's like this weird rotation that's happening, right? Stenny's at left guard, and then Illuminor practiced at guard, but now he's at tackle. It's because of necessity, but Aaron Stinney was going to be left guard, but now he's right guard, and you got to sign Van Roten 3 days ago, and now he's playing center, even though he's a guard. Like, it's just like all of this moving parts.
So let me ask you about that.
It worry me because it feels like nobody's actually in their right position, and how are you developing any continuity if you're kind of jack of all trades? You know what I mean? It feels like everybody's a jack of all trade.
If we assume Evan Neal isn't going to play, and right now you have to assume that.
Yes.
John Michael Schmidt's missing this time. They sign Greg Van Roten. He moves from guard to center. wouldn't it behoove a team, if you're expecting John Michael Schmidt's back, to just let the other four guys settle in into their positions and stay where they are in these camp practices? This way, that continuity is there. Well, that's the only thing I'm questioning right now with Dable.
You know, and the unfortunate thing is it makes me think that there's something more wrong with John Michael Schmidt's than there's.
That's what I was getting to. Yeah.
Right? Because why bring in a backup? Because they also signed Schlottman.
Schlottman, right.
Who I think.
He could play center. He's a center.
He is a center. But I think he signed for like $5 million or $2.5 million.
Right. So I would think, why would he not be playing center and Greg Van Roten at guard?
I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Unless it's about the best five and John Michael Schmidt's isn't going to be ready.
And that might be it. Oh, these are just the best five. But my point is, the fact that we're having this conversation tells you that there's some uncertainty with that front five.
Another year.
The edges hopefully should be consistent. If Evan Neal's not available, let's have Illuminor at right tackle and Andrew Thomas at left tackle. Everything else can let it sort itself out. But it just feels uncertain.
Great.
Even though it's upgrade talent.
Right. It's just more. It feels uncertain. Never, it can never just get it steady.
Exactly. Welcome back to Evan and Tiki here on WFAN. Sean had a family emergency. Our thoughts and our prayers are with Sean and his family at this moment. So stepping in now, Loogie is going to be on the mic with me here. But again, Sean had the run out with a family emergency. He's in our thoughts and our prayers. And hopefully everything is okay with his family. But we'll have more later on that, I am sure. But Tommy's now in the seat talking Giants, mostly about the offensive line as of late, but also Daniel Jones and the skirmishes that were happening out at Giants camp with the Detroit Lions this morning. They'll be again tomorrow. Tommy was out there this morning. Sean was out there this morning. I'm going to go out tomorrow morning and watch practice. But there's a budding, I don't want to call it controversy, Loogie, but there's budding something happening in Metland right now. Pete Alonso, for the first time in three or four years, is batting outside of the top four in this upcoming game against the St. Louis Cardinals. This is shocking from Pete Alonso's standpoint.
Yeah, it's the first time since 2020 that Pete has not been batting either, you know, first, second, third, fourth, whatever. He's dropped beyond fourth. And look, I'm a big, enormous, huge supporter of Pete Alonso. He had a rough weekend. He did. Yeah. I mean, he had the big home run on Friday night, but other than that, he struggled. He's been struggling all year with guys in scoring position and whether he's pressing or whatever it is. Because I don't think Pete Alonso's a declining player. That's the big narrative you hear.
Well, what
that
do
is
you think it is? Like, I don't want to put him in the he's pressing because it's a contract year, because that feels beneath someone who's been as good as he's been. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what is it?
Yeah, I actually think it's something's in his head now. I do. I think that everything. I think if Pete Alonso could have it back, I don't think he would have hired Scott Boras as his agent.
Right.
I think he would have probably even...
Unnecessary
pressure, because when you hire Scott Boras, there's this feeling of, all right, they're going to, you know, take every single penny from our piggy bank here, and they're going to get us for every single dollar. So there's that over, like, dark cloud. You even saw Boras there in Anaheim. He's sitting there like he's, you know, Pete Alonso's father, and, you know, he's playing Little League, and he's sitting there like, all right, make sure my sonny boy is batting fourth.
Was he scoring?
No, he's not Evan, so he wasn't sitting there...
Scored in the Subway Series. He was scoring the game.
Yeah, I know that we saw that, but I still can't believe that anybody on this planet, the only people that score baseball games are Evan or that one guy that's listening to the radio broadcast when he's at the game and he looks like his feet smell. Yeah, those are the only guys that score the game, but it's just that feeling of that cloud over you of Scott Boras watching your every single move. And Pete is a polarizing figure. I think, Teak, I would say about a year ago, there was maybe 15% of the Mets land or Met fans that didn't like Pete because they think he's a doofus, their words not mine, and they don't like the air humping or the Donnie Diesel or all the catchphrases. I think that number has now grown. I think it's probably up to like 30, 40%. I think there's a lot of people in the fan base that want to see him leave. They don't think he will live up to any kind of contract that he gets. They think he's a declining player.
Yeah,
and he's not clutch.
Yeah, well, I mean, he hasn't been. Runners in scoring position this year, he's been 200 or maybe even worse than that. He's been bad, and it's not as if you can pinpoint an injury. It's not as if you can find an excuse. It's just underperformance. Now, the problem is you saw this happening a year ago, right? You saw his batting average dip to 215 or whatever it was, 212. You saw, you know, the home runs were there, but the clutchness seemed to be sliding. And it's a shame when it happens like this, because it almost makes it guaranteed that he's going to be a Met again, because nobody's going to over, and the qualifying offer is likely what is going to be his best bet. Now, Boras is going to try to, you know, scream and yell and say it was an anomaly, but 2 years is not an anomaly. a season or half a season is an anomaly. Two seasons of underperformance from Pete Alonso is kind of who you are, especially once you're hitting 30.
Yeah, I mean, I still will hold on to the fact that he hit 46 homers last year. He's going to set a career high in doubles this year. I'm not a big batting average guy. I know a lot of people in our audience are going to drive off the BQE when I say this. I think it's a statistic that will go to the wayside. I think in 10 years, batting average won't even exist.
True. You're right. But it's also batting average when it matters.
That's where I was going with this. When it gets to the big moments, that seems to be the spots where Pete Alonso tightens up. And you don't always... Look, when I grew up, Teague, and you were playing football, chicks dig the long ball. That's what I was told. And, yes. And chicks still dig the long ball. But when it comes to, like, you know, a guy on third and one out, a sack fly will do. Right. I don't need you to hit it 500 feet. And in those spots this year, Alonso has tightened up a little bit. He's not doing well with guys in scoring position. So that aspect of his game obviously needs to get better. I'm not willing to give up on him. I still think Pete Alonso, if healthy, will hit 500 home runs and a lifelong Met. Like, Teague, you are a lifelong Giant, and I think we hear people all the time call up and say, Teague, I loved you. You hear Jet fans call up, Teague, we love you. And one of the reasons that's the case is because you stayed here.
Right.
And that matters to a fan base when a guy plays their whole career.
By the way, that's so solid. Because, trust me, it wasn't always pretty.
Right.
Midway through my career, people were like, all right, dude, you stink. You fumble too much. Get out of here. But you persevere, and you come out the other side, and especially if you come out the other side better and playing at a high level, then people remember that. And they remember that you worked through the adversity and stayed here. I think this is going to make it so dicey for Pete Alonso this offseason because he's not having this unbelievable contract year, Aaron Judge-esque contract year. He's having a, God, you better really like me to stick with me type of year. And the Mets have a decision to make. Now, do they think he's going to be expendable after the year? I hope not, because it's not easy to go find someone who can consistently hit 45 home runs a season. And so at the very least, you know that that's who Pete Alonso is going to be. And I think that's even if he does start to decline physically 2 or 3 years from now. And so you nailed it. When you're somewhere for a long time, all your warts kind of get rubbed down, right? They just kind of don't look as ugly when it's the same team for your entire career.
Yeah, you hear this all the time, Tiki. Like, you see in the NFL when guys trade jerseys at the end of games, and that sometimes bothers a lot of fans. We, as fans, are mated for life like geese with our team.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And I think when a player plays his entire career for a team, it's like he's one of us, right?
Yes.
Like, you stuck with us the whole way, so there's this loyalty, and I think if Pete Alonso, and I believe he ultimately will stay with the Mets, and the Mets will sign him, and he will play his entire career with the Mets, that will matter more. Through all the ups and downs, like any relationship, whether it be a marriage, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, friends, there's always peaks and valleys. Right now, it's a valley, but I do believe there obviously have been peaks, and there will be more peaks to come, and for those that are giving up, I think you shouldn't give up, because we've seen brilliance from Pete Alonso, and he's going through it a little bit, especially this weekend, but I have all the confidence in the world that Pete Alonso will figure it out. Now, Tiki, as you know, I am positive Tommy. I woke up this year, 38 years old. Actually, I'll be 39 this month. Please send me money. I spent my entire life being a negative Met fan. I woke up this year, and I am now positive Tommy. And after a weekend like this, I feel like I have to make some sort of statement to the Met fans out there.
You need to, because losing 2 out of 3 to the Angels, come on, man.
Yes, and I am the leader here of Met fans, and I would just say this. They finally lost the series, what, for like the first time in a month. They still have a tremendous record over the last 2 months. It's baseball. It's a long season. Everybody has a bad series. If you look through it, I believe the Angels swept the Padres this year. Mm-hmm. They were able to figure it out. You can't give up on them now. I believe in this team. I am marching on. I believe in the power of positivity. And I think Met fans, whether sometimes there's this feeling amongst Met fans where they feel guilty that we even exist, right? We are in a town with the greatest franchise in the history of sports. There's no taking that away from them.
Currently the greatest player with Aaron Judge.
Sure. And then you feel like, all right, when is the other shoe going to drop? When are they going to let go of the rope? We don't deserve nice things. And I've told you all season long, Met fans, we deserve nice things and we will get nice things. And a lot of people want to, you know, give up now and say the season's over. The no fun police woke up from their nap and they were hitting me up on Twitter last night about how the season's over. And look, they got a big one coming up here in a little bit against the Cardinals, a peer tier team, a team they're going up for a postseason spot. And I expect, like they've done all season, for the Mets to answer the bell because this team's been spunky. And I have preached the power of positivity and they have rewarded me. So to my fellow Met fans, remain positive. There's still 2 months in the season,
Of course, I mean, there's so much time left in the season. It feels like this is urgent. It feels like we're talking about this Cardinals game that's just dumped into the middle of the travel day on their West Coast trip. It has a deeper meaning.
Yeah.
It's just one game. Now, if they should win it and get themselves back on track before they head off and finish the rest of this, what is it, five more games after this?
Play the Rockies and then the Mariners.
Right, so there's five more games after this. So if they should steal this one and get themselves back feeling right again, who knows how it takes you through the rest of the road trip. The thing that makes this game important, though, is that losing 2 out of 3 to the Angels, a team that, I mean, they shouldn't care about the rest of their season, especially with Mike Trout down, but it is what it is. They shouldn't have lost that series, but if they lose this game, it puts a pall over the rest of the road trip. And right, the last thing you need is to lose this series, lose the Cardinals, lose the next series, and then come home limping, right? And now you're, you know, 8 games out of the division. Not that we really care about the division, it's really the wild card, but all of a sudden the division felt in reach. And if you just start losing series and losing this game to the Cardinals and it exacerbates itself, then how do you pull out of it? That's what gets difficult.
Yeah, what Tiki's alluding to is the Mets play the Cardinals today. This is a makeup day, so they have to make a pit stop in St. Louis. And this is how I would equivocate to. Say you're, I would never do this. I don't think you do this either, Tiki, but there's maniacs like Evan, Chris McMonagle, who works here, that drive to Disney, right? Yes. So let's say you're driving to Disney and your kids go, hey, can we stop at a zoo somewhere? And you stop at the Washington, D.C. or Philly Zoo, and it's like, why do we have to make this pit stop? You make the pit stop, you end up losing your cell phone, your credit card, your wallet, and you're like, we didn't even get to Disney
That's
yet, and
perfect.
I'm already down $300.
That is perfect.
So this is a little pit stop, and it's against a team they're competing for, tiebreaker scenarios. So they need to refocus in this game. You had a situation where, look, the negative vibes of that game, especially Saturday night. And look, I'm not going to like point out who it was, but there was a female fan of the Angels that was screaming at the top of her lungs. And I can't get on anybody for having an annoying voice. Lord knows I have an annoying voice. Mirage has an annoying voice. But I had to put the damn thing on mute. Positive Tommy was being tested. I was like, they're blowing his game and I got to listen to this. So I think everybody had a little chuckle with that. But there was like this almost malaise in the last 2 days of the games. Yeah. I know they're out in Disney. They're out in Anaheim where sports, my family's out there. My pig sister-in-law, my dingbat mother-in-law and father-in-law live out there. And there's just this sort of like, baseball, sports, whatever.
Especially because there are so underperforming.
Correct. And the team's been bad for a long time. Yes. And I just think the Mets almost maybe fell into that trap a little bit. But they need to refocus here in their pit stop as they get to Colorado and then Seattle. And then they come back for the homestand against like Oakland and several other teams. So,
yeah, I mean, the Angels are 49-63, right? They're a team that just at this point in the season, I mean, they're not White Sox bad, but they're also not very good. They haven't been very good. But you never know what motivates you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never know because they didn't do anything at the deadline. They didn't get rid of their team. So they held on to most of the players.
They traded their closer.
They traded their closer, but they held on to most of the guys.
But the guy they got, now, this is not the positive Tommy spin, but I will say this, the Angels do have good pitching. The closer they brought in, this guy throws like 105 miles an hour. He's yoked, too. Yes. The guy is jacked. I forgot his name, Joyce or whatever. He was throwing heat on Saturday. So the pitching on the Angels is not of a team that's that many games under 500. Their lineup, and they're all big leaguers, but their lineup isn't that great. I know they got a kid out there from East Islip, the catcher, but they're not like anything that's going to like keep you up at night, but they do have strong pitching. And for whatever reason, it just felt a little bit like the Mets weren't ready to go. I think they refocus. I think they play the Cardinals here and they get back on track. That's why I am imploring Met fans to just take a deep breath. The season's not over. Seasons don't end in early August. Every team has a bad series. They've bounced back all year and they will bounce back again. 888-808-1019 is a number to call. Tiki Barber, Tommy Lugauer, and this is for you, Tiki. Lugie, here on the Fan. Let's go to Rob in New Jersey. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Yeah, I just I was calling to talk about Pete. I saw they dropped him down the fifth, and I'm with you, Lugie. Listen, I love Pete as much as I love Daryl Strawberry. I grew up a Mets fan in the early 80s and loved Strawberry and had to hear the comparisons to him and Don Mattingly, and now it's Alonzo and Judge. And I just want Pete to be a Met for the rest of his career, and I'm hoping that maybe this move to five, you know, pumps him up and he gets going again and just starts knocking in runs and we don't have to worry about it going forward, you know?
Yeah, you hope that that's the case, but it also feels like a demotion. You know what I mean? It feels like we can afford not having you get an extra at bat. That's what it feels like. And I don't know if it'll be taken that way. Maybe it's just a way to shake him up. Well, put him on notice, so to speak, and maybe get his mind right because there's less pressure on him. It's hard not to view moving him out of the cleanup spot as and not in the top four for the first time since 2020 as a demotion.
Yeah. Right?
It feels negative. By the way, that kid's name is Ben Joyce. 105 mile an hour.
105 and like legit, because sometimes I think they cook the books and they right. say it's faster than it really right. is. He was legitimately yeah. throwing 105 miles yeah. an hour.
He struck out JD Martinez. I think he's the fastest strikeout pitch in major leagues this year.
Yeah, and I think JD might have said something like, I've never seen anybody throw harder than that, something like that. But they were all amazing, and he was amazing. I think he had like the four-out save, so he was tremendous. We talked about Alonzo, and perhaps he's feeling a little bit of pressure. This might alleviate a little bit of the stress and pressure. Like at home, my wife, she has like this chores list for me because I have no life skills, and it's like take out the garbage, make the bed. By the way, and we've had this discussion, Tiki, why in the heck am I making the bed? I'm only going to lay in it. The president's not coming over.
Because it accomplishes something. It what? Makes you feel accomplished when you make your bed in the morning.
No, it doesn't.
This is why it's all discipline. It's like get your mind disciplined. Get
but
your
I'm not
mind
in the military.
Right. It's soon in the morning. This is why in the military you wake up, the first thing you do is make your bed. You accomplish something. You tuck it in and you do it right. And that way when you get into bed later that night, it feels like, oh wow, somebody made my bed. Oh wait, it was me. You know what I mean? That's how I feel every time I go to bed at night.
Every time I make the bed and I'm finished making the bed, because then my wife with me, it's like, you know Yelp, Teak, obviously everybody knows Yelp, yes. My wife loves Yelp. I feel like I'm being reviewed. She's like, no, the button's going top.
Are you micromanaged?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's bad.
You got to put it here. You do it! No, then you do
see,
it!
Tracy doesn't do anything with it. She assumes that I made it well. And that's it.
No, I'm then critiqued based on my performance. And then so I'm like, just leave me alone. You do it. So the point of all this is sometimes when I'm getting all stressed out with my chores, my wife will scale back a little bit and I only have to throw out the garbage. So in this sense, I think Alonzo and Mendy, they're looking at it like, all right, you know what? Let's take a little bit off of Pete's plate. If you're batting fifth, you might not be up in that cleanup spot where there's a couple guys on.
Yeah.
Take a little bit of that pressure off. Get him going again. And then within a couple days, he's going to be right back to where he was back.
Yeah, I mean, look, if they go through, let's say they get a runner on base and where they score or not, it doesn't matter. But all of a sudden, he's coming up without a runner on base. His statistics, for whatever reason, have been significantly better. I think it's .266 he's hitting with nobody on base. But once you get a runner on first, second, and third scoring position, it just dips. 50, 60 points, it dips. And so in some ways, it is making it easier for him. And by the way, if the bases are loaded and he's batting fifth, like there's a huge RBI opportunity for him, right? Even if it's two outs. So it could add some more pressure, but I think it's a way, if an inning comes around anew, where he can be at his strength. No pressure, just get hits. Hit home runs, hit doubles, whatever he's been doing best. And taking the need, the urgency to help score runs off of his plate a little bit.
Now, where does Tracy land on fingerprints on the mirror? That's a big hill to die on for my wife.
You can't use me to answer this question, because we have separate bathrooms.
Oh, you do?
We have separate bathrooms. So Tracy has her own bathroom. So my bathroom looks whatever. Toothpaste on the mirror, fingerprints. It doesn't matter.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
All right, so we have separate bathrooms. So I don't have to ever worry about that.
Oh, you're a lucky guy. Dude, she'll leave post-it notes like, you need to clean the mirror. Why? It's not a crime scene. And then the toothpaste thing, I don't like squeeze it all the way through the tube. So it all like builds up at the front. Then she's getting on me for that. Plus, I don't always like, you know, it like gets crusty at the top. So she gets on me for that. And I'm just like, you know what? I need to be like the barbers and have separate bathrooms.
Loogie!
You know, I've given you 95% of that apartment. Maybe I need to give you a bathroom, too, because she's always breaking my goyunes over the damn mirror and the fingerprints. Let's go to Anthony in Staten Island. What's up, bud?
Hey, guys. I haven't made the bed in 31 years.
That a boy.
Oh, wow.
That's why I'm divorced.
Well, I'm sure you didn't get divorced over not making a bed, Ann. I'm not going to pry into your private life. You could say whatever you want here.
It could have been the... But I think it was a few affairs I had.
Well, yeah.
Oh, God.
There you go.
There you go, Ann.
I listen. I love Alonzo. Stearns was brought in here. He's not signing him. We're going to watch this kid hit home runs in Wrigley Field next year. Mm. And everybody's going to be complaining. Stearns will never sign anyone. This is what he was brought in here for. I don't care, the billionaire. He had a billionaire in Oakland. Look what he does. I think Cohen is here to put in, I talked to you about this before, just to put a casino in here.
No, no, no way. No, 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 no.
Yeah, I mean.
Stearns and his dumb moves. Signed nobody, got no pitches.
Yeah, but even
that guy they brought in Saturday, what was that?
Yeah, no, I hear you, Ann, but my thing is this. It's like, yeah, relievers are like kickers. You never know what you're going to get out of all of them. Right. It's always a flip of the coin. This idea that David Stearns was brought in here, because this is the conspiracy theory amongst Met fans. Now, he took it a step further here. And yes, Steve Cohen, 1,000%, wants to build up the place around City Field.
And by the way, he needs to.
100%.
Because I, when we went to the game last week, you know, you come off the... what is it? Do you get there? You go by LaGuardia, you get it, you take the exit, and you have to go right to get to the parking lots. I missed the right. And so I was like, damn it. So I was going straight, like I was going back on the highway, and I took a right down, you know, one of the alleys.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm stuck in the chop shops. Like I'm like my, and it's wet as hell. It's muddy as hell. There's potholes the size of, I mean, my damn tire. I mean, they were massive.
If you close your eyes, you think you're in Paris.
Not even close. No. But I'm driving through there, and I'm having my daughter with me. She's like, what are we doing? Why are we here? It's just cars everywhere. Like, there's narrow alleys you can't get through. So, I think I've been there before, but it was the first time I'd, like, driven through there. And it was like, this is a hellhole.
No, it's a disgrace. And Steve Cohen, obviously, Walt Disney, his Florida project, is to build Disney World around City Field.
Right.
And
but that has nothing to do with Stearns.
It doesn't, but his point was Steve Cohen's only here to build a casino, and Stearns is here to basically treat this team like it's Evan's fantasy team where he doesn't want to trade any of his top picks. That's not the case. David Stearns is here to balance Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen wants to spend. Steve Cohen is a billionaire. If my salary dropped on the floor, Steve Cohen wouldn't pick it up. We know that. He's got a ton of money, but David Stearns is here to balance that. It's not to run this like a mom and pops. This isn't the Wilpons where they're shopping on the clearance rack. So this idea that they're not going to sign anybody is ridiculous. They're going to be in on Soto. They're going to be on all the top free agents. Whatever Alonso finishes the season with, they will evaluate and they will offer him the contract that is most important. But this idea, yeah, they need to build up the around City Field. They need to create a winning team, a winning brand to get people to go. I read this on Twitter. I think the Yankees have had 25, 6, 7 straight games of 40,000 people. Why? Because they're a brand. Because they win. There's things to do. River Avenue has great bars. Like, that's why people go to those games. Plus, it's Yankees, all that deal. The Mets got to get to that level, and that's what Steve Cohen wants from them.
Yeah, there's no place you're hanging out.
No.
Out there at City. Now, if you build that up and it becomes kind of like it is at either Wrigley or even a Yankee Stadium you're talking about, then you'll go and you'll hang.
That's it.
And you'll spend a ton of money.
That's it.
And that's the end game. By the way, the idea that Stearns isn't going to sign somebody because he never has, he signed Christian Yelich.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous statement. It's just a conspiracy theorist.
And they were a tiny payroll market team.
100%.
If he has a billionaire behind him who's given him carte blanche to build the team in his view, he's going to spend the money if he has to spend the money. Now, yeah, whether or not that's on Pete Alonso, that's neither. I mean, we'll figure this. That'll sort itself out. Pete Alonso's got to have a much better year in these last 50-plus games. But if Pete deserves it, he's going to get paid. And I think David Stearns will do that. It's just because he came from a small market in Milwaukee doesn't mean that he's not going to spend money.
Right. And he got hired in a big market by a billionaire owner. And yeah, absolutely, Teak, you're right. You leave a Yankee game, you're on River Avenue, Stans, Billy, shout out to both of them. You could sprinkle my ashes there. The only problem with those places are they're filled with Yankee fans. I kid. When you leave Citi Field after a day game, night game, whatever, all you could get is a soft pretzel and a hubcap. So that's why the Yankee bros are packing in Yankee Stadium, because they could go to the bars and talk to pretty girls. And when you're hanging out with Mr. Met after Citi Field, they need to build the area up around Citi Field and make it a cool destination for young people to go to. You will attract more fans. Okay, let's go to Stan in West Orange. What's up, Stan?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We're good. How you doing?
Hey, Lugie, let me just say I love your enthusiasm regarding the Mets. I truly believe that the Mets will make the playoffs. I am not a Met fan, but I am a Carlos Mendoza fan, and I think he will get them to the playoffs this year without question.
Well, he's learning. He's learning. I mean, you start to trust him a little bit. Is he doing everything perfect? No, but he's learning. And I think ultimately, I like his personality. I don't know if it's just because we've had him on a couple of times, but I like the way he presents himself. And I think his team responds to that. He relates. It's the whole conversation we had around Glaber when Mindy was bench coach under Boone. He can get the best out of guys. The question is, why can't he get the best out of Pete Alonso? That's the one issue, because he's getting the best out of everybody else.
Yeah, look, it's his first year managing in a tough town. The team got off to a miserable start. You had the whole situation with Jorge Lopez throwing his mitt. Mm-hmm. You had everybody jumping off the bandwagon. You had most fans already thinking that they were punting. So I think his ability to, you know, right the storm, to be that calming force, I think this team reflects his toughness, his heart.
Right.
I think he should be getting more love for manager of the year. I've already endorsed him publicly here in an election year. So I think Mendy deserves a lot of credit for where this team is at right now.
Think about the guys that are overperforming. Like Vientos.
Oh, Vientos is a rock star. He's been unbelievable.
Been fantastic. Lindor, obviously. He's been great.
And Mendy moved him to the leadoff spot, so I credit Lindor for that. Right. But also Mendy for having the, you know, the chutzpah to put him leading off where he did well in Cleveland. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Tiki Barber, Tommy Lugar, Lugie here on the Fan. Let's go to Greg in Bayport. Greg, what's up?
Yeah,
bro?
Hi. How are you?
Good, how you
what's
doing?
What's up, Greg?
Hey. I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm watching the Mets. Why don't they stop him from hitting in the All-Star game, the Home Run Derby?
But why would they do that?
You think it messed them up?
Because it's pretty well known that guys after Home Run Derby, their swings get kind of messed up.
There's a couple guys where that's happened, but it's not well known. It's not across the board. It's like maybe like a couple, like 3% of guys that ever performed in the Home Run Derby have had their swing messed up. He's been in the damn thing every single year, so I don't buy that.
And how's he been doing?
What do you mean? He hit 46 home runs last year. How was he doing in the first half? Yeah. I don't think his second half he's been better. If anything, he's been hitting more home runs. He's been doing well as far as the power in the second half.
Yeah,
so I don't buy that.
It didn't mess him up last year. I mean, last year he was messed up batting average wise all season long. I mean, it started at the very beginning. He gives the Home Run Derby. I don't even remember how he did a year ago. Forget this one.
He lost in the first round to Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah, I mean,
this year.
Oh, this year, first round, he finished second to last.
Right.
So he didn't do very well.
Yeah, he didn't do very well. But it did. I don't think it changed his swing. Like, he still hit a ton of home runs after the All-Star break last year.
No, but Greg, why do you have this thought? Why do you think that, be honest, why do you not want him being in the Home Run Derby?
No, and don't judge me. I'm a Yankee fan. I started that when I was a little kid when I was a Met fan.
Yeah, I'm not judging
I just
you.
Remember when Judge came back after the All-Star game, he was a little jammed up. You saw a lot of the other power hitters, they come and they get messed up from it. Why not take the break, Judge, off?
Yeah, Judge did it one time.
Yep.
He did it and won it and said, I'm done. I think Judge wants to, if he's going to go to the All-Star game, or if he doesn't, he wants to rest.
Yeah.
I don't think Aaron Judge is there to be like a show-off.
Yeah, my only criticism with that is I feel like Aaron Judge reminds me of the guy that you bring in to be in your fantasy football league. He wins the league in the first year he's in it, and then he quits. Like, you got to defend your crown. Can you do it one more time, please? Show a little guts and be in it again. Well, so if you lose, you lose.
Actually, maybe he's justifying what Greg was saying. He's like, that kind of screwed up my swing for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it ever again.
I'm not buying that whole thing.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.